This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Monday morning on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday. March wheat closed at 602 and a quarter. That was down 2 3/4. May wheat closed at 624 and a quarter, down 2 3/4. July wheat closed at 645 and 3/4. That was down 2 1/4. March corn on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 599 and a half, down 12. May corn closed at 606 and a half, down 11 3/4. July corn closed at 612, that was down 11 1/4. January soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 1160, down 18 and a half. March beans closed at 1158 and a quarter, down 24 1/4. May beans closed at 1167 and 3/4, down 24 and 3/4. January soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 304.80, down 13. March meal closed at 301.50, down 56. May meal closed at 304.50, rather, down 57 cents. January soybean oil on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 50.20, down 95. March oil closed at 50.29, down 117. May oil closed at 50.70, down 116. March oats on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 282 and a half, down 1 3/4. May oats closed at 283. That was down 3 1/4. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with today's grain market report. Illinois country grain prices ended lower on Friday afternoon. The strength in the U.S. dollar and carryover weakness from Thursday's USDA reports pushed grain futures lower. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 12 cents, lower at $5.80 to $6 even, while soybean bids were mostly 22 to 25 cents, lower at $11.28 to $11.42. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 11 cents at $5.94 to $6.05. Soybean bids dropped 19 to 25 cents, ranged from $11.31 to $11.55. And the wheat bids mostly 2 cents lower at $5.87 to $6.02. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills report those corn bids down 10 to 12 cents, ranged from $5.88 to $6. Soybeans declined 23 to 24 cents at $11.36 to $11.46. And wheat prices, they increased 2 cents at $5.97 to $5.98. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 8 to 11 cents weaker at $5.99 to $6.06. Soybeans dropped 21 to 24 cents at $11.61 to $11.68. With new crop wheat prices for July 12 delivery down 2 at $6.04 to $6.11. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators place their producer corn bids 9 to 11 cents lower at $6.16 to $6.17. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 23 cents with quotations at $11.80 to $11.81. Soft red winter wheat down 3 at $6.11 to $6.12. And Milo ended 12 cents lower at $5.87 to $5.88. That is our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Board of Trade Friday, February hogs closed at 85.60, up 165. April hogs closed at 87.05, up 47. May hogs closed at 94.85, up 65. February cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade Friday closed at 122.47, up $1.22. April cattle closed at 126.40, up 115. June cattle closed at 125.25, up 75. January feeder cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 150.57, up $1.10. March feeder cattle closed at 152.37, up 57. April feeders closed at 154. That was up 67. And we'll take you once again to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Friday, January 13th. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrels, and gilts closed 55 cents lower. Carcass-based price range of 75.5 to 84.5, weighted average of 82.41. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 15,400. Illinois direct brown gilt trade was steady to dollar higher at 56 to 62, with Illinois direct slaughter sows 2 to 4 higher. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 50 to 55. 450 to 550 pounds at 52 to 57. over 550 pounds at 54 to 58, a few up to 60. Boars under 300 pounds, 32 to 40, and over 300 pounds, 15 to 20. Today's estimated receipts, 325. Thursday's actuals, 875, and for the week, 4,165. Pork carcass cutout, 83.85, and that is down 26 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter and federal inspection, hogs on Friday, 385,000. Saturday, 129,000. Week to date of 2,212,000, and year to date, 4,275,000. Cattle on Friday, 125,000. Saturday, 13,000. Week to date of 653,000, and year to date of 1,213,000. Box beef cutout values were lower on moderate demand and moderate to heavy offerings. Total movement today, 194 fabulas with 102 trim. Choice at 183.12, and that is down $2.63. Select at 175.61, and that is down $1.54. At the Walnut Livestock Auction on Thursday, 347 head sold. Compared to last week, slaughter steers, heifers, and Holstein steers traded steady. Slaughter cows mostly 1 to 2 lower, and slaughter bulls 5 lower in a thin test. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 125 and a quarter to 130 and a half. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s at 113 and a half to 117. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 124.75 to 129 and a quarter. At the Illinois Auctions, which are covered, receipts this week of 9,135, which included special sales. Compared to last week, slaughter steers never trade steady to dollar higher. Choice steers range from 125 to 131.75. Choice heifers, 124 to 133.75. Choice Holstein steers traded mostly steady, 113.5 to 122. Slaughter cows and bulls traded unevenly steady. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service, returning you back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, Friday, January, Class 3 milk closed at $17.11, down a penny. February milk at $17.08, down 32. March milk closed at $17.39, down 37 cents. January butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday closed at 160 and 3 quarter unchanged. For February, 161, down a penny. And March butter closed at 165 and 3 quarter unchanged. January non-fat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday closed at 140 and a half. For February, 140. And for March, 140 and a half. Spot prices for Class 3 milk, $18.77. For butter, $1.61 and a quarter. For non-fat dry milk, $1.45. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Scottville and Greenfield. Corn delivered to Greenfield for January, $6.02. For February, $6.01. Corn delivered to Scottville for January, $5.94. For February, $5.93. Beans delivered to either Greenfield or Scottville for January, $11.42, for February, $11.35, and wheat delivered to Scottville for January, $5.73. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $6.02, corn at Scottville, $5.94. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $11.42. Wheat at Scottville, $5.73. And once again, the Hog Inc. phone number, 217-368-2888. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Monday morning, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. Color radar shows no precipitation in our mid-Illinois listening area on this Monday morning. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
It's time to think about your lawn and what you can do to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood. M&M Service Company carries a full line of green yard, lawn fertilizer, seed, and chemicals. They will come out and give you a free estimate for lawn care applications and treatments. Talk to Tim Rothy, turf specialist at M&M Service Company, for a seed, fertilizer, and chemical program for your lawn. Call him at 1-800-962-7331. M&M Service, the local solution to your world of needs.
Becoming cloudy today. There is a slight chance of a shower this afternoon. High temperatures in the mid-50s with south winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, occasional showers. Low temperatures in the mid-30s. Tomorrow, Tuesday, cloudy, windy, and cooler with a chance of a morning shower. High temperatures in the low 40s. And your extended forecast for Wednesday through Friday, clear to partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures in the low 30s, highs in the low 40s. Right now at the Weather Center, south winds at 16 miles per hour, the barometric pressure steady, our temperature 42 degrees under partly cloudy skies. This check of Color Radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Ever seen what some insurance companies make you go through to get a discount? At Country Financial, you can easily receive a discount, like the multi-policy discount. Here's how it works. You insure both your personal vehicle and your home with Country, and you immediately get a discount on your auto premium. Sound easy enough? Discounts are also available for good drivers, good students, owners of multiple vehicles, and more, and they're just as easy to qualify for. To learn more about the multi-policy discount and other ways to save, see Greg Holcomb, your Country Financial representative in Hillsboro.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you on this Monday morning by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield and by the Litchfield National Bank. First of all, in our farm news on this Monday morning, another busy Saturday at the Hamilton Hay Auction. Earlier this morning, we talked to Mike Hamilton, and he gives us the recap.
Yeah, Randy, we ended up with 1,491 small squares. We were down about 300 bales from the previous week. That's just due to the fact that the guys are finding the bottom of their stacks. But at any rate, we ended up with 402 bales of a good alfalfa. It was in a price range, the first crop at $480 to some real nice fourth crop up to $780. The alfalfa grass, we ended up with 386 bales, and it was in a price range from $650 to $790. Had a lot of it in that $780, $790 range. Straight grass, we ended up with 250 bales, and it was in a price range from $550 to $7.90. And straw, we ended up with 453 bales. It was from $2.50 to $3 per bale. In the round bales, we had 112 of them. We had 87 bales of just mixed grass, and it was in a price range from $42 up to $78 a bale. We had 22 bales of rye hay, and it was from $49 to $58 a bale. We had ended up with 297 3x3s. The alfalfa, we had some real nice alfalfa from 81 up to 136 a bale. Ended up with 120 bales of alfalfa grass mix from 85 to 90 a bale. We had 18 bales of CRP grass, had sticks and stuff in it, at $51 a bale. We had 18 bales of corn stalks and 3x3s from $26 to $32 a bale. And we had 36 bales of, I'm going to call it Supreme Orchard Grass, come out of South Dakota, and it sold for $171 a bale. We had 7 bales of first crop alfalfa at $82. We had 22 bales of 3x4x8s of first crop alfalfa at $77. And we had 22 bales of 3x4x8s of straw at $48.
Were those prices comparable to what you had last week?
Yeah, I would say the 3x3s were higher. This orchard grass that we sold for $171 a bale, that was extremely, extremely high market. We sold some at hay 2 to 3 weeks ago, and it brought 152 a bale that week, so it was up about $19 a bale. The big squares are definitely higher. It seems like we're getting a lot more dairy interest in that, the dairy farmers needing hay. The small squares, I'm going to call them steady, maybe just a little bit lower, but there again, the quality on them is really dropping off. Like I say, the people, our shippers are running out, and we're getting into their first crop and their lesser quality hay.
And when can folks start bringing in hay for your sale this weekend?
They can start bringing hay in on Friday afternoon. We accept hay from noon on Friday up until, like, to have everything on the lot by 10:30 Saturday morning, or if you need to bring it in earlier in the week, give us a call. We'll make sure somebody here to unload you.
Okay, what's your number, Mike?
They can reach us at 618-410-4293, or they can get us on our email at our website at www.hamiltonhayauction.com.
And that was Mike Hamilton of the Hamilton Hay Auction. In other news, the Southwestern FFA chapter is competing for a grant from Monsanto. Tim Reed of the Southwestern FFA chapter explains.
We are competing for a grant, and it will make an agri-science learning garden, not only an outdoor classroom for the high school students here, but also a community garden and a place for 4-H groups and community groups to meet, learn about sustainable agriculture, solar energy, wind energy, composting, gardening, all of those things. So it's going to take quite a bit of funds to redo part of the school landscape to make the garden.
Now, your chapter is competing with other, not only FFA chapters, I assume, but other charities in the St. Louis area?
Yeah, actually, we may be the only FFA chapter competing, but what it is it's the Monsanto Grows St. Louis, and it's charities in the St. Louis area are competing to receive funds. This is the second round of competition, and the first place will receive $10,000, first place will receive $15,000, second $10,000. And third place, $5,000.
And what does this competition entail? I mean, what does your chapter have to do?
Basically, we just have to receive votes from the community. We've posted it out there, and we're trying to get the word out. People can go to stlgrown.com, and if you type in FFA to the search engine, we'll come up, and you just vote once per day per email address.
That's great. That's great. Do you know how many votes you've gotten so far, or have you just started this effort?
It doesn't list the vote count, but we're currently in second place. So we're trying to maintain or possibly go into first place to receive the funds. We have received some funds from other sources, so we have about $1,000 in our project, but our goal is to get close to $25,000 eventually to fully fund the project here at the school.
When your garden that grant will help fund, where will it be?
We have a greenhouse here at the school that's handicap accessible. We want to make all of this handicap accessible as well, but it'll be right beside the greenhouse on school property, and it's going to show some of the diversity of agriculture, and we're looking at doing a biomass project. So we're actually working with the University of Illinois to get some rhizomes for some different grasses, and eventually we want to possibly use a bio burner to burn some biofuels to heat the greenhouse during the winter as well.
Okay, you're about halfway through the school year. How are things going for your chapter so far?
Things are going great for the chapter. We're actually competing in parliamentary procedure at the sectional event. We've done quite well, and we're very proud of all of our members. And Jacob Meisner, who's serving as a state officer this year in the Illinois FFA, is actually in China right now with his fellow state officers on an international experience. And quite excited about that.
Once again, the website that Tim mentioned, stlgrown.com, and go to the FFA search engine. At the specialty conference last week, Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau talked to loan officer Cheryl Canavan. She files this report from the conference in Springfield.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting Ag News here on WSMI. This past week at the Specialty Growers Convention in Springfield, we caught up with Cheryl Canavan, farm loan officer serving Jersey, Greene, Madison, and Calhoun counties. Cheryl works with row crop producers and farm youth loans, but she also serves some specialty growers throughout the area.
Madison County area, I see some horseradish. I have some sweet corn. I have some asparagus. I have some pumpkins. So, yeah, I have been involved actually this last year more than any in my career. So Madison County does have quite a variety of some specialty crops.
Let's talk to your corn and soybean farmers. What are you doing this time of year for those producers and in your office?
Well, right now we are starting to gear up for what we call our end-of-the-year analysis. We're ready for our producers to come in, and we're going to take a look at last year's actual actuals, production cycle, you know, what do the yields come in at? We're going to look at expenses and incomes and look at everything and then prepare that balance sheet and go forward now with 12. So we're looking at some annual operating loans. We are seeing a little bit of equipment being purchased. Obviously, again, in some areas, yields were high, prices have been high. So farmers do have a little bit of money that we're looking at spending and maybe updating some machinery or some worn out machinery. So we're looking at some term operating loans right now as well.
We've also talked a little bit about the season since harvest and now before spring. We sure saw a lot of tiling go on in that part of Illinois.
We have. You could almost go from county to county and watch the tiling machines at work. And, you know, the last three springs have been very wet. From what the forecasters are predicting, it looks like 12 could hold up to that as well. Knowing that we have to get a crop in a timely manner, I think that producers are realizing that probably going ahead with some tiling will pay off for itself in the long run.
How are you feeling, too, about producers' attitudes given the last couple of years and heading into the 2012 season?
You know, we're still very positive. Grain prices are very strong now. Sitting here today, I have not heard the USDA report today, and I'm only speculation of what some of the experts thought might happen. But, you know, we have prices set at $5 for corn, and we're using $11 beans for our crop projection cycles here for 12. So, again, we're pretty positive about it. Yield-wise, you know, again, it's all up to Mother Nature. We can grow it, but will we get the weather to cooperate?
Cheryl, many farmers, of course, know how to reach you. They do that on quite a frequent basis. But for those who haven't, how do they reach you?
Well, what we call my physical location is Jerseyville still, and that's where my secretary sits. So they can call the Jersey County FSA office at any time and get a hold of us. That number is 618-498-6836.
It's Cheryl Canneman, Farm Loan Officer at the USDA Service Center, serving Madison Green, Jersey, and Calhoun Counties. For WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier.
And on the Farm Show Saturday, our guest was Farrier Mike Jones of Brighton. He talked about one of his duties, trimming horse hooves, and he describes how it's done.
No, you want to trim a horse, on average, I'd say about every 8 weeks. Their foot will grow, and each horse will be a little different, but their foot will grow out, and they'll start to get out of balance, or they'll start to develop other issues that generally will start in the foot. So you want to keep the horse trimmed and balanced about every 8 weeks.
Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and shoeing as well. A good shoeing job will last six to eight weeks.
Now, the material a horse's hoof is made out of, is it a lot different than a person's fingernail?
It's similar. The hoof wall itself is similar to the composition of a fingernail. It's a lot of moisture, but yeah, it's similar to the horse, to a person's fingernail.
What sort of tools do you use to trim hooves?
Well, you use what they call hoof nippers. They're a little bigger than fingernail clippers. They're about 14, 15 inches long, and then you use a hoof knife to trim the frog of a horse's foot and the sole, and then you use the rasp. And use the rasp to get it level and balanced.
And it has to be that way before you shoe the animal, right?
Yeah, a good trimming job will dictate how good your shoeing job is. So
now
you can't just pick up a horse's foot and put shoes on it. They have to be trimmed and leveled before you can get the shoes to sit on there correctly.
Well, have you found it also that, like you say, you just can't pick up a horse's hoof and put a shoe on it? Sometimes they don't stand still for that, do they?
No, you're absolutely right. The some horses are better than others, but a horse, you can tell when a person spent a lot of time with a horse, because the horse would be pretty docile. And over the years, I used to like to work on the young ones that haven't been handled a lot. But as I've gotten older, I pretty well walk away from those. I don't use many restraints. I do have a couple of high-end show horses that have to be tranquilized before they can be shod. But I don't use a lot of physical restraint. I'd rather the horse be trained, so the next time we might not have to use those methods.
Well, I would think that a young horse that hasn't really been handled that much would be tougher to shoe than one that has been.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It depends on the horse's experience the last time he had shoes on as well. If he'd been manhandled and beaten around a lot, he's more apt to be a little rougher to work on this time than he was, initially even. But a young horse to be trained, you have to take your time with him, and you can't really. You have to allow extra time on your appointments. You don't want to go there and say, well, I need to be done in a half an hour. You need to be able to spend the time with the horse or ideally have the owner spend the time with the horse. So when you come there, you're on a schedule, you can do your job and do it well.
And you probably need to have the owner around while you're shoeing a horse, right?
Yeah, at least the first time or two, you want to make sure the owner's there because especially when you don't know the horse, until you get to know the horse and know the owner and what's expected, it's always good to have the owner there.
That was Farrier Mike Jones, our guest on the WSMI Farm Show over the weekend. Remember, no commodity markets today as the commodity markets are closed for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. We'll be back with the afternoon farm show today about 12:45 on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Litchfield National Bank and by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield.